Merry Christmas, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. My name is Dan, with my lovely wife and dedicated Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. We always like to begin by reminding our listeners that all our radio programs and newsletters are archived on shofarministries.net, a plethora of knowledge that we hope you will share with others. Please join us in tonight's prayer. Most generous Father in El Shaddai, we worship and adore you. Thank you for sending your Son to be the ultimate sacrifice, paying in full the debt of our sins. We in your name take authority and curse the root of all types of cancers and debilitating diseases in your fellow servants that are listening right now. And we ask you, O Lord, that you grant the petitions of our recent prayer requests that we now hold in our hands. We anxiously await your kingdom, and may you grant us divine protection from our adversary. And as always, we implore you to plow the soil of the unsaved hearts of our family and loved ones so the seeds they receive take root. Abundantly bless our faithful supporters. And thank you so much for your many provisions. And may we never complain over our inconveniences. Now, Lord, we pray that you are pleased with tonight's teachings. And we pray in Yeshua's name.
Amen. Thank you, dear. And before we get into the news portion, I just want to say that those of you who are suffering from a serious ailment, and maybe that has gotten you into a saddened condition, until you are healed, why not use your ailment and turn it into good? You know that the most important thing in this world is to bring a lost soul to salvation. So, especially during this season, try to use your unique situation to give the gospel by showing others that no matter what you are going through, your love for Jesus supersedes all trials. Because soon our trials will be over, and his kingdom will be throughout the earth. He was born to save us from the debt of sin so that we can live forever. Have you perhaps noticed how people listen compassionately to the gospel when it is given by a wounded soldier? You are a soldier for Christ. When we can still honor God during our afflictions that he promised we would have, it sends an important message, like, wow, I want what they have. That should be your goal. Do not whine or complain to especially the unsaved, and instead, let them see the light as represented by all the light shining this time of year, because you are storing your treasures in heaven, and you will be heavily rewarded at the Bema Judgment. When the books are opened and the Lord says to you, well done, you've been through a lot and you passed your tests. In these days of turmoil, that's what I want to hear from Jesus. How about you?
Yeah, I know I do. Those are encouraging words, and I'm sure it spoke to someone deeply tonight. Mm-hmm. So instead of saying, why me, Lord?
Right.
Say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to prove my love to you.
Right. And we are getting closer to that Bema Judgment.
Yes.
And he wants to reward us. Mm-hmm. These are your treasures that you are storing in heaven. You know, we must never let our outer circumstances dictate our inner attitude. Happiness still is a choice. And we always have the joy of the Lord because he lives inside of us. And no one can take that away. So, be a reflection of that joy that brings that inner peace that passes all understanding. God is in control of all situations. And you must trust that. Your words and actions are a reflection of your relationship with him. You know, Paul suffered daily with an eye ailment. Galatians 4:15, and yet he professed joy, and in Romans 5:23, he said it produces perseverance. So, don't do as the world does. Rather, be a lighted mirror that reflects the Savior of the world. And that's why we honor his birth every day of the year. And everything we do for the gospel is written down for us to see someday soon.
Yep. I think that's part of our topic tonight. But first, any pertinent news?
Oh, yeah. Well, it is clear now that President Obama has given in to Russia's demands that Assad of Syria can stay in power.
Ah, surprise, surprise. That's a huge compromise.
Well, anyway, this means Iran and Hezbollah will continue to thrive in the area, and that's right next to Israel. We can therefore assume ISIS will soon be gone in Syria, at least in name. And this does strengthen Persia's Iran and Russia that will one day, after the declared peace by the Antichrist, to attack Israel, fulfilling Ezekiel 38. So Russia is now closer to Israel by proxy.
Ah, now what does Israel do next?
Well, they really don't have a choice but to welcome the decision and make nice.
Yep, and they probably will.
Mm-hmm. Remember, Israel has to look like easy targets for their enemies to feel empowered enough to then take advantage.
So glad we know the rest of the story.
I'm so glad we do. You think? Anyway, exciting times and the worst of times. Just like in Revelation 10:10, when John took the prophecy scroll from the angel. And what did John say?
In my mouth, it tasted sweet like honey, but after I ate it, it was sour in my stomach.
Sweet for us who are leaving to see Jesus, but sour for those left behind. But back to Israel, where there is still a lot of turmoil going on. Not only are there continued lone wolf attacks, on Sunday, two missiles landed in northern Israel from Lebanon. Well, by Sunday night, Israel responded with four missiles hitting a five-story building in a village in Damascus, which killed a high-ranking Hezbollah commander, who, by the way, had served 30 years in Israel's prison for terrorist killings, but then was let out through a prisoner swap in 2008.
They couldn't wait to get out. Another leader, as well as other civilians, were killed and injured, too.
Yeah, there was. And, you know, it's interesting because every time I see something like that happening in Damascus, I think of Isaiah 17:1, where it predicts Damascus' demise. So anyway, what will Hezbollah do now? Well, its leader, whose name is Nasrallah, just so happens to be the brother of the killed commander. And Nasrallah is right now only verbally lashing out, but I guess we'll see what they do.
Mm. Or should we say what they're told to do by Iran?
Yeah, of course. But I don't think they'll retaliate in a way that would force Israel to begin a major military operation.
Not right now.
When Hezbollah is busy, they're kind of busy. They're really helping Syria fight ISIS and the rebels. It just wouldn't be in their best interest. It's in my opinion. And if they do, that could start the war described in Psalm 83. So again, every day we just watch.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. You can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are still very much needed and greatly appreciated, and automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. A lot of knowledge there. You ought to check it out. And the first Friday of every month, Shofar Assembly gathers for worship and a timely Bible study. So make an effort to join us at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road, that's Route 306, in Chesterland, Ohio. The next assembly will be January 1st at 7 p.m. And if you could come at 6:30, since it's the traditional New Year's Day, You can partake of our homemade soups and challah feast.
That should be fun.
I know you will be talking. I know you'll be talking about what we can expect in 2016.
You think? Yes, especially what we can hope for in 2016.
I've been waiting for that. Yeah, I think, haven't you? Mm-hmm. Also, we will be in Menor at Lakeshore Assembly of God on January 14th. That's on a Thursday at 7 p.m., weather permitting, of course.
Of course. Okay. As we said in the beginning of the program, everything we do for the kingdom, and even just the mention of his name, counts. And it's written down in the book of remembrance. Let's turn to Malachi as I tell you a little bit about the times when Malachi wrote this letter. His name means messenger of Yahweh, and God's prophet during the days of Nehemiah. This is around 400 BC, in the 400s. And during this time, there was a lot of corruption within the church, or I should say within the synagogues, even amongst the priests who had wicked practices, but yet had a false sense of security due to their privileged relationship with God. And as you read all four chapters, and I pray you will, you'll see how Malachi probes deeply into their hypocrisy and their arrogance, their false worship, their robbing God of their tithes and offerings, infidelities, and divorces. And he says right away in chapter 1 that God finds no pleasure in them. In chapter 2, just like today, he points out that they were doing evil things and then acting like it was okay in God's eyes. Boy, do I see a lot of that today. Homosexual couples think it's all right. I see unmarried couples living together and then partaking of communion at the church. It baffles me. Now, after the prophet Malachi, we do see judgment, and that's of Antiochus Epiphanes Seleucid's army that we've discussed the past couple of weeks. But God does not speak through any prophets from Malachi until John the Baptist. Okay, so back to the 400s BC time, and we want to look at Malachi chapter 3 in particular, where he continues, just like in chapters 1 and 2, to call out their indiscretions and points out heavily how they were not giving enough and they were robbing God. He also promised if they would return to him and then test him in verse 10 by returning to tithing, that he would bless them abundantly for it and rebuke the devourer for them. And you know, these are promises we can still claim today. I especially, though, like verse 15, because once again, it's just like today. He says, we lift up wickedness and call the proud blessed. But this next verse in 16 and 17 is the cream of the crop for those of us who are the remnant in today's society that lean totally on God and glorify him and reverently fear him. And it says this, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate or esteem his name. So it's like every time you say, praise the Lord or Jesus saves, it goes in the book to be opened on that day for us to see. Verse 17 says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. That's at the rapture / resurrection. And he says, I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Spare from what? Well, of course, the wrath of God, the tribulation, Jacob's trouble, whatever name you want to give it. There's a 7-year time coming. We will be spared and we will escape. And then we're given a really good passage in Daniel 7. And it's just kind of like nestled right between verses 8 and 11, verse 8 describes the little horn rising up, which is the Antichrist. And then back past that in verse 11, it continues with the Antichrist and describes him as speaking pompous words. But right in the middle, verses 9 and 10, it says, I watched till thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days, which, by the way, is the Father, and that's verified in verse 13, he was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, and its wheels a burning fire. Sounds like Ezekiel's and John's vision. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. That's us. And the court was seated, and the books were opened. You see, he will show us everything we've ever done or spoken for the good of the gospel. Not our sins. This is all good stuff. And we'll be able to see it, and our rewards are based on what's written in this book. It's amazing. Then later in Revelation 20, John actually speaks on this too. Only that book has all the deeds of the unrighteous, who will be judged according to their deeds done in the world. And of course, this is a different day of judgment, and it's at the great white throne at the end of the millennial kingdom for the unrighteous. And in fact, verse 12 of Revelation 20 says, there's two books, and it says, and I saw the dead, talking about the unrighteous, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. The unrighteous dead will have to pay for their sins themselves. That was the choice they made. Jesus paid for our sins because we chose him and accepted that he paid our debt for sin so that we won't have to. In the old covenant, they would offer a sinless animal to cover their sins. But in the new covenant, the Messiah was that sinless Lamb of God that erased our sins if we accept his salvation. That's how God's plan works. And it doesn't matter what you think about it or whether you would do it differently. He is the creator of everything. This is his plan. And he laid it all out in his book, written for us. Actually, when you connect all the dots, it's a brilliant plan and an amazing gift of love. You have to admit that. So, there's three books in heaven. One is called the Book of the Righteous for the saints' rewards. In fact, check out 1 Corinthians 3:8, where it talks about how one plants and one waters, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor, personal. The Bema Judgment, it's called. And Bema is a Greek word meaning the seat of the judge. And remember, as we saw in verse 16 of Malachi 3, Scripture says that even when you speak his name, it counts towards your rewards. That, by the way, he really desires to give to you. Another is called the Book of Life, where all who accept the Messiah, or in the Old Testament believed he would send a Messiah, would be written in there. And then we have the Book of the Dead or the Unrighteous for their just punishment for rejecting the Messiah. And then according to what they have done for the ruler of the world, our adversary, it's all written down. There are scriptures that confirm different degrees of punishment. Hitler's punishment is much worse than one who never murdered anyone but still didn't accept the free gift that Jesus offers everyone. 2 Corinthians 11:15 talks about how false teachers will receive punishment according to their works. And 2 Timothy 4:14, Paul says that Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. That's some strong words said by Paul. But do you still have some doubts? Then you need to read Matthew 23, verse 14. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation." So clearly, there is some kind of differentiation when it comes to hell. Deuteronomy 32:22, God says, "For a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn to the lowest hell." So obviously, some parts of hell are lower than another part of hell. We know that some of the fallen angels are in Tartarus, where most scholars feel is the lowest part of hell. They are being reserved there until the time of judgment on the earth, when they will be let loose, according to Revelation 9 and Jude verse 6. Ooh, that's why he wouldn't allow his bride to be here. And just in case you don't think hell is hot, read Matthew 5:22, because Jesus describes hell as hellfire. So I hope this will give you impetus to really get out there and save those lost souls. And I pray that you will openly declare this week especially that Jesus is the real reason for this season. Forget Santa. Don't even let him in your house. Open the door to conversation that will lead to witnessing. And try to bring someone back whose light is obviously going out. You know who they are. Reach out now to the backslider. Their hearts are ready. They know it's time. They've already been thinking about it. They just need a nudge from you. The word says we might have to reprove a brother. So be honest. Tell them that you detect that their inner light is getting dim. Just come out and say, "Let me help you." And then pray with them. And then point them back to the word. It's the word that's going to keep someone. Usually most backsliders backslide because they don't have the power of the word to conquer the enemy and to keep going forward when things get rough. And of course, if you are listening and you have never made Jesus Lord of your life, you are a fool. You got to get on your knees right now and repent for your sins individually. And then ask God into your heart. Ask Jesus into your heart. And you better hurry because we really, truly are running out of time. I know I've been saying this for a long time, but it's still true. The Aaronic blessing is from Numbers 6:22. Yivrekaka Adonai v'yishmereka Ya'er Adonai panav eleka v'yuneka. Yasei Adonai panav eleka v'yasem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, sha'alu shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her will prosper. We're off next week. We'll be back in two. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.